Amen. Go on to the book of Acts, chapter number 2. Begin reading at verse number 1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and appeared and it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Everybody say filled. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. And I'm simply going to preach for just a few minutes of time here tonight. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Let's ask the Lord to help us here today. God, we need you. We need you tonight. We need your touch. We need your Spirit. We need your anointing. The unction of your Spirit to be about us today. The witness of the Holy Ghost to be upon us today. God, move in this place. Take over completely. Be quick to give you the praise. Touch every heart, every soul. Let inspiration and revelation come upon us and about us. We'll magnify you and give you glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. Amen, amen. I was doing some praying last night, and then today I feel like the Lord added to what he impressed upon me last night, and I wrote it down upon my bulletin board there in my office, and so that it is before me all the time, and I'm going to be very, very redundant in the messages and such, bringing this up and out. I feel very strongly about it, and I feel like this is, number one, the will of God, but the plan of God. Amen. What it is, praise God. And so we look here in the book of Acts, chapter number 2. Obviously, this is the place where the church is born. And the Bible said that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, so there was the time, amen, that's the when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place and one accord. That's the where. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. That obviously is the Spirit moving amongst them. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. We'll come back to that in a moment. Began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, obviously, and what we have is the beginning of the church, the birth of the church. But we see that there is a response to the Spirit. A response to the Spirit will produce relationship, and relationship is going to produce revival. Amen, amen. And I think that that is extremely important. Amen. We know that God is a Spirit, and we know that everything that happens within the church is and should be spiritual. I'm afraid that a lot of what is happening in churches these days is nothing more than entertainment. Amen. And entertaining a people and the assembling of people together is nothing more than a social gathering. Amen. Because there's not too many lives that are being changed. Changed. Amen. Praise God. There is a profession of godliness, but there is no power that is backing all of that up. Amen. And I believe that when people receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, there's going to be a change that happens. Praise God. And I feel that in all of this, that the Spirit, when it begins to move, that it is imperative that we respond to the Spirit. We've got to respond to the Spirit. This is more than just coming to church, singing some songs, clapping your hands, amen, and feeling good about yourself when it's all said and done. There is an eternity that is in the balance of all of this. Your soul is in the balance. And when you come to church and you begin to respond to God, you are strengthening that bond of eternity in your life, that bond of salvation in your life. Because responding to the Spirit creates relationship, and it's going to take relationship in order to make it to heaven. Praise God. Praise God. There's too many backsliders in this day and age, amen, that did never had a relationship with God. Amen. Praise God. The children of Israel will tell you that it is important to have relationship with God. If you have a relationship with God, amen, you're not going to go chasing after false gods. You're not going to be involved in idolatry. You're not going to be involved with strange women. That was the problem of the Israelites so many times. Amen. And it's because, pardon the phrase here, but it's because God was nothing more than Santa Claus to them. Amen. Just load us full of blessings. Just give us a bunch of gifts. Amen. And that's really all that they wanted. They just wanted to give me, give me, give me, give me. Give me manna. Give me water. Give me flesh. Give me quail. Give me meat. Give me provision. Give me protection. Give me this. Give me that. Amen. They had a whole long list of everything that they wanted to give. Amen. But they never had relationship with God. And that is why they faltered and they failed. And so I am not interested in building a church, amen, that is built off of a shout. I'm not interested in building a church, amen, that is nothing more than just a gathering of people so that we can feel good about ourselves. Amen. I am interested in building a church that'll stand. And I'm interested in building a church, amen, that when the winds of false doctrine, amen, when the winds of the end time begin to blow, that the church will stand, amen, against these spirits. When worldliness, when carnality begins to come into a youth group, I am interested in having a youth group, amen, that's on fire for God with a relationship with God. That goes beyond, and amen, the dance floor and gets outside, amen, the church doors. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I feel like preaching here tonight because there is a spirit that has been in defiance of a spiritual move in this church. There is a spirit, amen, that has been trying to get this church to settle for something subpar. Amen. To settle for just coming to church and just feeling good about ourselves. To say that we had good church because we had some people dancing and shouting and running. But when they go outside the doors, they got a filthy attitude. They got an ungodly aura, amen, demeanor about them. If you're going to be a Christian in here on the dance floor, be a Christian when you walk out the door. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. And so we've got to make sure that we respond to the Spirit of God. Why? Because God knows what you need tomorrow. God knows what you're going to face tomorrow. God knows the temptations and the tribulations that are headed your way. Amen. Don't tell me that you're struggling living for God if you're just sitting there and not doing anything. A struggle insinuates a pull. A struggle insinuates a fight. A struggle insinuates I'm not willing to go that direction. Amen. I'm praying like I need to pray. I'm fasting like I need to fast. I'm being faithful like I need to be. I'm worshiping like I need to worship. I'm responding like I need to respond. Because I am here to win. I didn't get the Holy Ghost so that I could lose. I didn't get the Holy Ghost so that I could backslide and be lost. I got the Holy Ghost to stand the test of time. I've got plans here, my friend. I plan to make it all the way. I plan to go through those pearly gates. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. And so when the Spirit of God begins to move,
Amen. We must respond to it. Sometimes it's a deep move, and our motives, amen, our preconceived ideas can say, well, this is Sunday night. What are they doing? Singing slow songs. We ought to be singing jamming songs. We ought to be singing fast songs. Amen. It's Sunday night. It's time to dance. And God makes me say it. Amen. You need more than a dance. You need to be on your face. You need to be praying. You need to be seeking God, because you don't know what's happening tomorrow. But the Spirit does. The Spirit does. And the Spirit maketh intercession. Amen. We begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Amen. And God prepares us for the things that are ahead. And our relationship with God sustains us. Amen. That when those trials begin to come, and when the winds of temptation begin to blow, hallelujah, we can stand against those things. Amen. Not because of our righteousness, but because that we have been responding to the Spirit of God. Praise God. Amen. Be seated. And so we see here today that God was preparing an entity that would stand against the vile and the wiles of the devil. God was preparing, amen, an organism, amen, that would be able to stand against the subtle attacks of the enemy, against the individual attacks and the collective attacks of an end, amen, of the church. And that's what it was. It was the church. Amen. God was not collecting and starting an organization. Amen. But he was starting an organism, something that is alive. Praise God. Something that is alive. Amen. And when it was born, amen, when the church was born there on the day of Pentecost, we see there in Acts chapter number 2, amen, that upon the birth of the church, we see that the Lord was glorified, and we see that the people were edified, and we see that the devil became terrified at the church. There was something that was far powerful. There was something that was greater, amen, than the enemy's imaginations, in that he thought that he had subdued and conquered the Son of God. Amen. But as many as, amen, believed on him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. We're not a bunch of little demigods running around, but friend, the Spirit of the Almighty God dwells in us. It's not just the Spirit of Christ God, amen, dwelling in Christ, but now it is the Spirit of God dwelling in each and every one of us. The devil doesn't only have to worry about God. He has to worry about everyone, amen, that is in this church. He has to worry about everyone that has been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He was in this world, yet without sin. He was tempted in all manners, amen, yet without sin. Hallelujah. He was testing that spirit. Hallelujah. He was creating an antibody, an antidote for the virus called sin. And it was successful. In the book of Jude, he said, amen, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. What is going to keep you from falling? Your goodwill? No. Your self-perseverance? No. But it's the Holy Ghost. That's what's going to keep you from falling. Staying full of the Holy Ghost is what's going to keep you from sinning. Staying full of the Holy Ghost is going to keep you from doing the things that the devil wants to do in you and through you. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Praise God. I am amazed at people in this day and the hour that have experienced the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then sit back in practice, the once saved, always saved doctrine. Oh, they're emphatic to state, I don't believe that. I don't believe in once saved, always saved. Well, you're sure practicing it. Because you're never pushing to get the Holy Ghost again. Let's take a look at the drug, at the alcoholic. And let's see that there's something about an alcoholic getting drunk that makes these people feel good. It does not matter that the next day they're going to feel horrible and have extreme headaches. It does not matter that they're going that they will make mistakes and that they will live life to regret those mistakes that are going to affect them the rest of their life. It does not matter. It does not matter that they will get their license taken from them for drunk driving, that they could spend days in jail, lose money on tickets, wasted wages in courtrooms, and may even wind up killing somebody in an automobile accident. That does not matter. It doesn't matter that they're going to do things that will embarrass them and strip them of their dignity. The drunk is going to live from one drunken stupor to another. I worked with them. I had a man that drank a six-pack every night after he got home from work. And then he had come back to work the next day with a splitting headache. And there I was, Freeman, right next to him. And I got a Hilti Ram set done, and I'm shooting studs into an iron column. Bang! And he's just sitting there holding his head. I said, "What's the matter, Gamarro? You got a headache?" "Oh, yeah." I said, "Did you drink too much last night?" "Oh, yeah, always." It didn't matter. It didn't matter what I did to him to inflict pain upon him. He was going home to go drink. I had a young 19-year-old that was working with me, and I knew he was coming in hungover, and I'm a mean guy. And so I took him into a bathroom, and we started hanging lids. Ceilings, in other words. And we started hanging those ceilings in closed-in area where there's no wind. There's no fresh air in there. And he's pouring sweat, and he's getting sick. And he looked at me and he told me, he said, "Boss, you know I'm hungover, don't you?" I smiled and I said, "I sure do." I said, "Hopefully you never do this again." He just kind of snickered and laughed, and so we just kept on hanging. After a while, he went outside and threw up. He came back in thinking that he was going to feel better. We kept right on hanging. After a while, he went back outside and he come back in. "I'm just going to tell it to you like it happened." He said, "Boss, I got to go home." I said, "What's the matter, Kenny? You sick?" He said, "It's worse than that. I got to go home." And then I said, "All right, that's fine." He left and went home, and his future father-in-law came in laughing. And he said, "You sure got him, didn't you?" I said, "I don't know. Was he sick?" And he went home, and I said, "I know he went outside and threw up." He said, "No, he messed his pants." He had diarrhea so bad after all of that, he messed his pants. Stripped him of all of his dignity, but it didn't stop him. And I cannot tell you the number of times after that that he would come in hungover and trying to work. There's something about drugs that I don't understand that will drive men and women and teenagers to do things that make no sense at all. They'll steal from family members, steal from friends in order to get another fix. They'll sell family heirlooms, keepsakes, and necessities in order to experience another high. They'll take their chances against the law, spend untold numbers of days in jail and in courtrooms, living on the edge, knowing that a bad batch somewhere could end their life, willing to do anything, forsake the family and friends, live in dire poverty, live dirty, live filthy, live in the cold, wet, or even the hot environment. No electricity, no running water, broken down vehicles, in order just to have another high. Amen. They'll lose great pay making jobs, making great money, amen, for such a small, insignificant powder, the substance. They are ready to kill another human being in order to obtain the feel that they need. They will mar themselves, going from good looking, beautiful, and handsome, to emancipated, to emaciated look. Sores all over their bodies, up their faces, and their teeth rotting out their head. But they've got to have another fix. I've come to tell you that we've experienced something better than any drunk has ever tasted of. We've experienced a far better, greater height than any drug addict has ever soared to. And we got it without a damaged constitution. We got it without going to jail. We got it without losing our job. We got it without having to give, amen, our bodies over, amen, to some type of sin. We got it by coming to an altar and repenting of our sins, being baptized in his name. We got the Holy Ghost. It's the greatest thing that man has ever tasted. But yet it seems like they gotta stand on a corner and put a Blue Ox special on it to get somebody to come and taste and see that the Lord is good. I'm worried. I'm concerned about saints, amen, that have experienced the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but yet can sit there, amen, and look like some stiff, amen, sit there and look like last year's Thanksgiving turkey, like they're unconcerned, like they're unmoved, when you've got something that the drug addict today is walking up and down the alleys, and in the hidden back air back alleys, trying to find what you've got. You've got what the world is looking for. You've got the power. You've got the possession. You've got the spirit. You've got the freedom. You've got the height. You've got everything that they are looking for. Oh, let's love them today. Young people, let me just tell you today, amen, that there is nothing in this world, amen, that can supersede what you are partaking of today. The things that you feel around the flat, the things that you experience in the church service, the things that you find around an altar, you will never find anything greater on the outside of these doors. You'll never find a drug that'll make you feel better. You'll never find a drink that will cause you, amen, to feel better than what the Holy Ghost can do for you. It is important that you stay full of the Holy Ghost, because when you're full of the Holy Ghost, amen, the devil is no match for you. But when you are empty, when you don't have the Holy Ghost, you are no match for the devil. Amen. Stay full of the Holy Ghost. I would venture to say that the once saved, always saved doctrine is probably the most practiced doctrine in the Pentecostal church. Oh yeah, I don't care if you like it or not. You know why you don't like that? You know why you don't like what I just said? It's because you practice it. It's been weeks, it's been months, it's been years since you've talked in tongues. You know why? Because you would have to kill your self-will. You would have to repent of some things. Amen. You would have to stop doing some things. Amen. But you feel that because you got the Holy Ghost 10 years ago, amen, that everything is okay, and you can just come to church and be faithful. That's a lie that hell is selling on a red light special. That's a lie that hell wants you to buy. That's a lie that hell says buy one, get five free. Amen. You cannot do it. You gotta stay full. You need to pray through on a daily basis. If I hadn't talked in tongues, amen, this past week, I'd be afraid. I'll just go as far to say, if I hadn't talked in tongues today, in the that we've already been to a church service. If I hadn't talked in tongues by today, amen, I'd be in this altar. I'd be saying, God, I need it one more time. God, refill me all over with the Holy Ghost. Cause me to speak in tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. I want to walk out confident. I'm prepared. I want to walk out confident. I've got what I need to face the devil. I can't face him without the Holy Ghost. Let's love the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Drugs and alcohol is a cheap substitute that will cost you your life. Amen. Replacing the Spirit of God. That's why alcohol is called spirits. Wine is called spirits. It's the world's spirit replacing God's spirit within us. Amen. We need the Holy Ghost. Amen, preacher. Show me. Tell me where. Amen. Give me Bible. Where it is that I need to pray through often. All right? I will. Thank you for asking. I got the liberty to do so now. Amen. Paul said, I die daily. Amen. That just simply means that he repented every day. And Paul said, though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed. When? How often? Day by day. Amen. The outward man perish, but the inward man is renewed day by day. Titus chapter number 3. Amen. Verse number 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy and hating one another. But after that the kindness of the Lord of our God and Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Spirit. Amen. Did you catch that? He said that's how you're going to be saved. You're not going to be saved by getting the Spirit. You're going to be saved by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Spirit. If you've got to be renewed, that means you've got to have it the first time. But if you got it the first time, it's not good enough and sufficient. You've got to get it again and again. I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. You've got to get it again and again and over and over. But who wouldn't want to get it? I'm telling you, it was the greatest thing when I first got it. I'm ready to get it again tonight. I'm ready to get it again tomorrow. I want it on Tuesday. I want it on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And give me a little bit more on Saturday so I can prepare for Sunday. Filled with the Holy Ghost. You know why people backslide? Because they stop being renewed in the Holy Ghost. You know why, amen, they commit adultery? Because they're not full of the Holy Ghost. You know why that they can lie? They're not full of the Holy Ghost. You know why that they can cheat and cuss and steal? Because they're not full of the Holy Ghost. You know why you can be rebellious? Because you're not full of the Holy Ghost. You got to stay full of the Holy Ghost. You got to stay full of the Holy Ghost. And the devil wants to tell you, oh, that's enough. You got a little bit last Sunday night. That's enough. You don't need it again. Amen. If the devil came telling me I didn't need it again, man, I'd be running to an altar. Amen. Because he's a liar, and what he really means is, I almost got you, buddy. If I can keep you from getting it this Sunday, I'll probably have you on Monday. Amen, amen. I need the Holy Ghost every day. Yeah, I'm a preacher, but I need the Holy Ghost every day. Amen, because I'm just as much flesh as everybody else is. Amen, and there's things that aggravate me. There's things that get my goat. There's things that make me mad. Amen, and it's easy, amen, to pop off and to lose my temper. I got to take this old flesh back down to an altar, and I got to say, you got to get down, and you got to die daily, and you got to be renewed again today. And after I have prayed through, after I've got that Holy Ghost flowing again, and after I've asked for the grace of God to help me, I feel a whole lot better. I feel stronger. I feel wiser. Amen. I feel more apt to take on the day that God has blessed me with.
Praise God. That's why I wouldn't miss church if I didn't have to. Praise God. I'm just being honest. I wouldn't miss church if I didn't have to. Amen. You know, we're raising, I'm just going to say it here tonight. We're raising a bunch of weak-kneed people in this day and age. I was talking to Brother Wells. You can sit down or stand up. I don't care. I was talking to Brother Wells, and Brother Wells was talking about, amen, some of his young men. And it aggravated how he gets with his young men. And he was up preaching. He was aggravated. Amen. Some of that, amen, righteous indignation was upon him. And he just made a proclamation. He said, I wish one of you farmers would farm us about 1,000 bales of square bales so we can make some men out of these sissy boys up here sitting on the front. One farmer stood up and he said, I got a square baler. We can make that happen. Another elderly gentleman said, I want to come see him. A bunch of sissy boys that's afraid to get a few blisters on their hands. I got an owie. Afraid to get outside and get their hands dirty. Afraid to work in some heat. Well, glory to God. Man, you men know what I'm talking about. I was a 14, 15, 16-year-old boy hauling hay from sunup to well past sundown. Amen. My jeans wet all the way down below my knees and all the way up. By the end of the day, I'm walking galded. So raw and so hurting. Amen. But the bales of hay have got to get in the barn before the rain happens. Amen. Pouring sweat, getting out there. Amen. Our rancher would take us into Mr. Burger, and we'd get us a burger and some fries, and we'd go back out there, and we'd be hauling hay. It was so hot one time, I had my friend up in the loft, and I took that bale of hay, and I picked it up, and I threw it up there, and I took the next one, picked it up, and threw it up there, picked the next one up, and looked, and he hadn't moved anything. I called out to him, hey, what are you doing up there, taking a nap? I climbed up the ladder, and looked in there, and he's passed out because it's so hot in there. And I let him come down. I got up there in the loft. Amen. That's just the way that it was. We was back out there the next day. You know why? That rancher told us. He said, look, boys. He said, if you promise me that you'll be here tomorrow and the rest of the week and that you'll get this entire field in, I'll give you every bale that's out there. He had a group of men that was working for him doing that. He said, I'll let them go. We said, let them go. And 15 and 16-year-old boys, amen, is out there driving the tractor, pulling that trailer, throwing bales of hay up there on it, sticking that tractor in granny gear, setting it in the rows, jumping out, one on the back of the trailer, another one tossing hay into the trailer, walking down, another one stacking it up in there, running up, jumping in the tractor, making the turn, getting it all set to come back and doing it all over again, hour after hour after hour. And you know,
you what? We didn't even have those water bottles. I know we could have filled up some milk jugs and stuff, but when we needed water, oh, Jesus, help us. We'd be traveling back to the barn, and we'd stop, and we'd go out there to that pump, amen, by that little pump hose, and open it up, amen, and wait for that water to finally come out, that well water that tasted like disgusting rotten eggs, amen, pick it up and drink it because it was wet, and it would be able to quench a little bit of thirst, amen, that's the way we, amen, it is, but you got boys in this day and age, they don't want to do anything but sit inside an air-conditioned building, amen, and play some game somewhere, amen, not get out, get job, make money, amen, come on, young men, it's time to be men. How I got off on that, I don't know, but I don't repent. That's what Paul said. Paul said, I wrote a letter to you and I made you sorry. He said, but I'm not sorry that I did it. He said, I'm sorry that I had to do it, but I'm not sorry that I did it. Amen. That's what he said. That's what we want to be around here. Amen. We want to make sure that we're growing men, not pansies. Praise God. Let me get off of this. Let me get back to being filled with the Holy Ghost. That's much better, isn't it? We need to be full of the Holy Ghost. We need men that will stand against the wiles of the devil. Amen. Not fall into every little temptation and thing that comes blowing around. Men that will stand up and say, hey, we're going to live for God. I don't care what the world does. You heard it Friday night. The solicitation of the world inviting you to play some type of ball. Basketball, football, baseball. But you need to be able to stand and say, I'm not going to go that way. I'm going to stay full of the Holy Ghost. I intend to make it to heaven.
Praise God. Praise God. We need the Holy Ghost. We need the Holy Ghost. Amen. While I'm right here on my soapbox, let me just get back on it, okay? We need young men. And we need men in this church that when the service gets bound up, you got spiritual discernment enough to know it, and you stand up and resist it. Amen. You know, let me preach for a little while here tonight. Amen. Our song service was bound up. I said our song service was bound up. It needed a little bit more than some dancing. It needed somebody to get in the spirit and start praying. Somebody that's got enough spiritual fortitude to bind some spirits of hell. Amen. Somebody that's got enough spiritual integrity. Amen. To say, devil, get out. Amen. This is the house of the living God. And you're not going to come in here and bind up this service. It's going to happen more and more and more often. You say, why is that going to happen? Because we're in the end times. That's why it's going to happen. Amen. There's spirits, amen, that lurk around. Amen. Bully spirits, amen, that just want to punk people and push people down. Amen. Push people around. Amen. Trying to intimidate. Amen. Trying to get you not to worship, not to pray. And I am not, amen, so interested, amen, in how much that you can shout and dance. Amen. I want to know if your shouting and dancing is able to keep you when you walk through the doors. Because there's something wrong with your Holy Ghost. If you can shout and dance around here, but when you get out the doors, you've got a rotten spirit and a rotten attitude. You don't have the same Holy Ghost that you need. That's the enemy trying to sell you a cheap substitute. Amen. That's the enemy trying to pat you on the back and make you feel good about yourself. Amen. But you need to make sure that the Spirit has gotten a hold of you. You need to make sure that the Spirit, amen, is making intercession, that you're speaking in tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. Because when a church is spiritual, amen, there's not a devil in hell that can overcome it. But when a church is barely getting by, when a church is just slipping
group and buy a few services, it won't be long before this one falls. And it won't be long before that one falls. And it won't be long, instead of our adversity coming from the outside, it'll be coming from the inside. That ought not to be so in this house. Let it be, amen, that we got brothers and sisters in the Lord full of the Holy Ghost that'll encourage one another, that'll lift one another up and say, hey, Brother Wesley, you can make it. I've been praying for you this week. I've got a burden for you. I want to see you make it. I'm praying for your mama. I'm praying for your family. And I'm believing with you that through the grace of God, they'll come breakthrough.
When you're full of the Holy Ghost, you don't have room for bad attitudes. You're full of the Holy Ghost, you don't have room for a bad spirit. If you find yourself critiquing everything that's going on, man, I don't like the music. Woo, Jesus, I'm getting wound up. You better pray. Somebody better start interceding. There's a problem when we can critique what's going on in the church and we don't even critique an empty prayer room. We don't critique empty altars, but we'll critique everything else. Sister Pam, I'm not picking on you. I promise you I'm not picking on you. I promise. Amen, but we don't critique an empty altar, but we'll critique a thermostat. I'm not picking on you. I promise. I just looked over there and saw that, and it just popped in my head, and I said, you know what? If I say that, Sister Pam's going to feel so bad. I promise you. That's just an example, okay? I had people coming to church basically in parkas in Katy. Some old man, he had his big old yellow coat on. He coming in, he's got his coat on, he's all hunkered down. I got people over there at the fan. So we just set it at 70 and let it be. I'm up here sweating, Sister Pam's freezing. I'm just telling you how the devil likes to get. How about let's start praying? Let's start. Oh, Jesus. I was praying that today. And I said, oh, God. Amen. I want it to bother me when we don't pray people through to the Holy Ghost. I want it to bother me when we don't have people in the baptistry, amen, being baptized in Jesus' name. I want to pray about the positive more than I want to pray about the negative. Let me just say it like I said it here today while I was praying. I felt it. Amen. That there's a bunch of spirits. Amen. That are daring me to slap them. Amen. But you know what? When you slap a spirit, you often hurt people. It's often hard to, amen, to divide the spirit from the person. And sometimes these spirits, they just need a good ignoring, because that's what the devil wants. The devil's popping his head up in this one saying, go ahead and slap me, because you know that when you do, you're going to hurt this person. I just come serve notice to the devil. If you need a good slapping, you're going to get a good slapping in the Holy Ghost. Amen. But I'm here to help the hurting. I'm here to lift up those that are down. I'm here to lift up the heavy hands. I want to see us all make it. I want us to all stand on the streets of glory, up on those golden lanes. And let's dance. And let's shout together. And let's have a good time. And let's say we made it together. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. We need to be full of the Holy Ghost. We need to pray in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let me find my notes and find a place to stop. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand. Hallelujah. cannot afford to not be full of the Holy Ghost. We can't afford it. Because the devil's lurking, seeking whom he may devour. And he's going to have a hard time doing a red, amen, somebody that's on fire. Somebody that's praying like they need to pray. He's going to have a tough time doing it. I'm not saying that if you're praying like you need to be praying that he's not going to fight you. Because he's going to fight all of us. He's going to fight all of us. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hey, I remember why I started preaching against weak boys. Took me a while, but I remember now. God help us not to raise weak saints. Amen. Well, I got a little sniffle. I think I'll stay home today. It's like the comedian said I had a drug problem when I was a kid. My mom drugged me to church every day. Every time the doors were open, she drugged me to church. I told my mom, said, Mom, I don't feel good. She said, throw up and prove it. So I threw up. She said, now, don't you feel better? Go get dressed for church. Amen. I'm telling you, it was almost that bad. There are days that I was sick. Mom said, you're going to church. Mom, I don't feel good. I don't care. You're going to church. When you get to church, we'll get the preacher over there and pray for you, and you'll feel better. I need church. I need church. I can't afford to miss it. Amen. I can't afford to miss it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I remember growing up, we'd call the pastor. Pastor, come to our house. Pastor, walk in my dirty room. Was full of toys and all that other stuff all over the floor. He'd come in that room, and I'm under there with fever. He'd anoint me with oil and pray for me. Now we don't even call the pastor and tell him I'm not coming. Hey, it sounds rude and it sounds crude, but I'm watching out for your soul. I'm watching out for your soul. Amen! And we need to take notice that if we always get sick on church night, it's probably not sickness, it's probably the devil. I just feel I'm always sick on Wednesday nights. That's the devil. That's the devil. Man, if you feel fine on Thursday and Friday and Monday and Tuesday, that's the devil. You're going to have to defeat that. We need to be full of the Holy Ghost. And I'm not insinuating that anybody that's not here tonight is not full of the Holy Ghost. I'm just telling us that as a collective body, all of us, this is good. Paul said there's things that I say again and again. And he said, it's not grievous for me to do that, but for you it's safe. Some of you are still trying to figure me out. You don't know how I believe or what I believe. Well, I just told you how I believe. Amen. Praise God. We got to stay full of the Holy Ghost. Because there is a spirit. There is a devil. And he does not play fair. He does not play fair. I was sitting in my office on a Saturday morning. I think it was actually a Saturday afternoon evening. My wife and I were counseling a couple in there. We were talking. I had the door to the office open. And I heard somebody come through the hallway door. And so we kind of got quiet and I stood up to go shut the door so we could have privacy. And a man who was preaching behind our pulpit came to the door, tears streaming down his face. He said, I'm sorry. Can I talk to you for a second? I said, sure. I dismissed myself from this and walked out. He looked at me with tears running down his face. He said, my wife just left me. This past Sunday morning, somewhere down in Georgia, a church had a Sunday morning service. A pastor that is known in that organization, a pastor's wife that has taught around at different women's meetings, after service that Sunday morning, last Sunday morning, after Sunday morning church, they walked out of the church, ate lunch. She walked away and committed suicide. A pastor's wife. Last Sunday morning, a young man was in a church in California. Good church. He didn't get what he needed. He walked out of the service. A good young man in a good church. He walked out of the church and went and hung himself. You cannot play around with your spirit, with your soul. You've got to stay full of the Holy Ghost. Because you don't know what's coming. You don't know what's coming, what's around the corner. Hellacious spirits from a deep, dark, dank world come knocking on your door. You better have enough Holy Ghost to resist. I spent months with that young man. He wasn't a young man. He was just, I guess I'm a young man, so he was a young man. He's just a couple years younger than I was. But I spent months trying to keep him on and off that edge. He walked a dark, long road, teeter-tottering, balancing act back and forth. Times we thought we was going to lose him. Times we thought we was going to have him and everything was going to be okay. Went to court. He thought he was strong. Went to court. The judge called them both to the front, addressed both of them, pronounced them divorce. She turned around and walked out. He turned around with his head hung, unbelieving that it could happen. It can happen. And you better have enough Holy Ghost to stand, because the devil doesn't play fair. Amen. But you got a church full of the Holy Ghost? Are we going to have casualties? I hate to say it, but we probably will. But let's keep them to a bare minimum. Let's encourage one another in the Holy Ghost. Let's lift one another up. Instead of beating one another down, kicking each other to the curb, let's lift one another up. Let's encourage one another. And I'll just be vulnerable here, and you may hold this against me for the rest of my life. I'm not the greatest rememberer, and I'm not the greatest English person either. But I'm not the greatest person to remember all things. And I got excuses, and I can say I got a million things going on, but you got a million things going on. But what I'm saying is, I need you, and you need me. And I'm going to encourage you, but I need you to encourage one another too. And let's lift one another up. And let's go to heaven together. And when you see spirits coming up and rising up within you, get down on your knees and beat them down with the Bible. Beat beat them down with a good tongue talking time in the Holy Ghost. When the church is full of the Holy Ghost, it'll be a revival church. And I just felt it today. I was in here and I was in prayer and praying, seeking God, and I just felt it. There is a spirit. We've hit a level. We've hit a plateau. And I'm just going to say it like this. This church has been there before. And this is the first time that I've been here with you. But this church has been there before. And you hit that level and you just can't really break through it. And the devil wants to take a big stick and stir up strife. And the devil wants to stir up division. The devil wants to stir up all kinds of stuff. Stuff. That's all it is. Just stuff. Stuff that doesn't matter. When we get to heaven, is it going to matter? No. Well, he didn't shake my hand. When we get to heaven, it ain't going to matter. Well, he didn't shake my hand. Well, you didn't shake his hand either, obviously. But you see how the devil likes to twist it up? Don't let him do that. Don't let him do that. I'm telling you right now, the devil needs a good ignoring. Because he's poking, he's prodding, he's slapping. We ain't going there, devil. We're going to get full of the Holy Ghost. We're going to have a tongue-talking time. We're going to have revival. We're going to invite people to the house of God. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, I feel good tonight. Amen. The devil doesn't want you to hear this. He doesn't want you to feel the joy. He doesn't want you to feel encouragement. He doesn't want you to feel any type of relief. Amen. He just wants you to feel overwhelmed. I've come here tonight to tell you, you don't have to be overwhelmed. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Take a deep breath and talk in tongues in his face. Amen. Get yourself down to an altar and say, devil, you're going to leave me alone as I'm going to be full of the Holy Ghost. He's not going to leave you alone, but you're going to feel better about fighting him when you're full of the Holy Ghost. Let's worship the Lord here today. The service locks up, you get up on your feet. Amen. You stand up in defiance. You can stomp your foot. You can do whatever. Amen. But you come against that spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. You better have the Holy Ghost because he's going to attack you. Amen. He's going to say, Paul, I know. Peter, I know. Jesus, I know. But who are you? If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you better have the Holy Ghost. But if you've got the Holy Ghost, you can stand up and you can bind that spirit and you can declare liberty and victory in the house of God.